SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, the best hour of your day now officially underway. It's your boy Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission of Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. If you guys are watching now and loading up into the chat box here, thank you for doing that. Sports Grid On Demand. The best way to watch your radio programs right here on the Sports Grid Network. You can easily do that. Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube. Come in the chat box and say hello. Jordan P's out there. Eron's already out there. I know the people will flood into there as we have some fun throughout the day. SportsGridRadio.com, SportsGrid.com. You get the picture. And Sirius XM Channel 159. Always that you can watch, listen, and learn along with us. And boy, the hot topics are absolutely fantastic today. Now, here. Set the table for the show. I do want to spend some time a little bit later talking some college basketball. There are some big games tonight. We'll pull up some KenPom, take a look at some statistics that could make some sense tonight, and have some fun. But as you guys know me, I'm not really a handicapper in college basketball in November and December. We wait till probably later in the stages of January to early February once we get some of those college games to sort of go conference toe-to-toe, and then we ride off into the sunset, of course, in the big dance. But I also want to talk about some of those games that are going to be played tonight. They are very good, which includes Auburn headed over to Cameron Indoor Stadium to take on the Duke Blue Devils. The NBA Cup finished up last night. Nobody gives a damn about that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. So those, I guess, seeding periods are set. We'll have some fun talking about that. But the focus of this show, number one, we'll get to some NFL action tomorrow. One of the best games anticipated of the year. The Green Bay Packers travel to take on Detroit. They say, oh, no, it's a Thursday night football game. Why would they waste this? It's an unfair advantage to the home team. Keep in mind, both of these teams played on Thanksgiving. Both of these teams are going to play on a Thursday, which means Thursday to Thursday, full week. We should get a great football game with no weather implications in the dome in Detroit. We'll talk about that, but focused on college football. Did you watch last night in college football? Did you see the playoff rankings come out yesterday? Because they did. And we'll read it as followed here. The college football top 25 playoff odds. Or should I say playoff picture. Let's just call it that. Number one, Oregon. Number two, Texas. Number three, Penn State. Number four, Notre Dame. Followed by Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, Boise State, Alabama, Miami. That's the top 12. Now, if the season ended today, all 12 teams would get in. No, it doesn't happen like that because there are automatic bids that are going to come into the equation, which once again, I will say, hopefully within the next 2 to 3 years, I don't know how long, because it takes them eons and endless amounts of time to actually come to a conclusion on what should happen and how they can make it happen. The reason I say that is hopefully in the next couple of years, we will get rid of the automatic bids. It's a process that we just don't need. It's a process also where I don't know how it ever came down to the table. And I always say this as well. I'm very happy that we went from a mythical national champion to the BCS era with two teams, then the college football playoff with four teams. Trust me, it is better that we have 12 teams in and we will always have arguments who we think will get in. But we are having some circumstances that make those arguments really ramp up by giving a team like Boise State, with zero chance to win anything in the college football playoff, a bye and being like basically, if they win, a top four seed. That's ludicrous. Same thing with SMU. If they beat Clemson, they get a three seed. That is ludicrous the way that turns out here. And also, these seedings, these standings will change because we do have football games to play this weekend. But I just wanted to let that be known. We have to get away with that. Also, other like Division III football has 30 teams in it, 32 to 32 teams, 32 to 30 teams, whatever it is. We could have more of that in college football if we got rid of some of the cupcakes and also this weekend's championship games. In the past, you did need these. But it was always, starting with the SEC, a money grab for television networks and the conference to fit an extra game in that would have implications on a championship that people will watch, and the conferences and the teams got paid for it. I understand. I'm saying right now, there is absolutely no need for college championship football games this weekend ever again. And hopefully in the future, they will be done with this nonsense. Because there are a few games, particularly the Big Ten. You see Penn State and Oregon. It's a good football game. We'll watch it. We'll bet it. Zero implications. The winner moves on. The loser moves on. Same thing in the SEC. Wonderful football game. We'll watch it, but completely meaningless. Winner of that football game moves on. Loser of that football game moves on. Yes, these kids do want to win the quote-unquote conference championship. I understand that. But those games don't mean anything anymore. Cut the championship weekend out, add more teams into the equation, and then you have a better, easier, regulated tournament here, which then you can still have the arguments on who actually gets the bye weeks and should that happen. But let's just stick with the focus here. You look at also, which Ben and I always have a bit where Indianapolis, I say, like, I don't know why any event is in Indianapolis. There is not a single person in this country that ever says, and I'm not lying, this isn't a hot take, that sits back and says, honey, want to go away for this weekend? Why don't we do Indianapolis? Nobody's ever said that. Nobody's ever said, I wanted to go to Indy for a sporting event outside of being a Colts fan. Nobody said that. The fact that the Big Ten championship game is in Indianapolis is always a laugher to me. An absolute zero of a destination when you could pick anywhere that would be better. Now, this year plays out a little bit for me. As I see a tweet from Ross Dellinger, the get-in price per StubHub for Big Ten championship game is $12. Now, two things go into that. Number one, it's a Big Ten championship game with two fan bases that go, hold on now. Am I going to pay for tickets, airfare, and hotel, and maybe take a day off for work or two to go to a meaningless football game in Indy? Surely that plays into it. But also it plays into it where the game itself is Oregon, thousands of miles away, Penn State, I don't know. You drove there? What would it take to get from State College to Indianapolis? 5, 6, 7, 8 hours? I don't know, but it's a long-distance trip. And how do you tell your fan base that, let's just say, Penn State, right? Like, hey, you know what? We lose this game, and I don't know. Let's just say they still have a home game at that point. Fans don't care about this game. They want to get ready for the playoff home game here. And for an Oregon backer, you don't even get a home playoff game. So you're going to go to some meaningless whack bowl, which, again, has meaningless towards the bowl, but the meaning is the game itself. Those fans aren't going to pay to go to Indianapolis, a zero destination in the Rust Belt of America. Stop. Nobody wants to go there. So this has to go away. And if it does, college football will be way better for it. Way better for it. I see you out there in the chat box, Akbar, and my guy Chris Warren. Love it. Bringing the hype out here. By the way, Akbar, real quick here as I'm talking to the chat box. I did see Sauce Gardner saying he's going to sit practice out today with a hamstring injury. Thought you'd love that. So let me know your thoughts on that, by the way. Type in that in the chat box. But right back to the college football playoff. Do away with it here. Make it go to 16 teams. This will be absolutely fantastic. If we go to 16, it will be spectacular. If we cut out the automatic bid, which everybody's fun, Boise. And by the way, Boise State, you did your job. And if you win, you will be in the college football playoff based on exactly what we like to talk about. Deserving to get in. Under the rules, they are. I don't think they should be in under maybe a top 16. We'd squeeze them in somewhere. But if you are Boise, you're getting left out of this. Boise State should have a home game on the blue turf. That's the whole point of Boise State getting in. I would enjoy that. Let's just say if it ends today, we're going to go over the college football projections here. Penn State versus meaningless. By the way, Arizona State, get out of there. Just Penn State, move them on. Nobody wants to watch Arizona State versus Penn State. There's way better matchups here. And if you slip Miami in there, it would be way better. We'll get to that in a second. But Boise State's getting robbed, man. Penn State going to Boise State on the blue turf. Oh, my goodness. Even I would be excited for that game. Boise State getting the shaft here more ways than one. And so are the people that want the best matchups possible. College football talk on a Wednesday. Hey, we're only getting heated up. Come on back. It's Moneyline. It's your boy DRS. Let's fly.
Sports. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after it. Oh, the hot takes are fun. I love hot takes. But I love substance behind those hot takes out here in the streets. And we are a social media show. Oh, Alan Harris out there listening, and thank you for that. People go to major events in Indy. He says, love that it's in Indy. It's one of the most walkable cities for dinners, parties, etc. I hear you on that. But this weekend it's 32 degrees. We don't want to walk around in Indy. We don't. Get out to Los Angeles. UCLA, LA area, USC. That's now Big Ten country. Should be at SoFi every single year. Get some golf in, take a destination, maybe even head out to the beach. Let's do it. How about that? Los Angeles from here on out for the Big Ten. But literally for me, I need these conference championship games to go away for the greater good of the people watching these games. That's really what we need. And it's not hate, because things aren't created equally in the same way. And I still get back to it. Like, we are a big money national fan base per se. Because why? College football players get paid. Institutions banking on football to carry their entire sports budget based on football. Networks want to charge for commercials, players want their money, and teams want to make as much money as they can. I have no idea how we came to the, and it was it just to avoid lawsuits? Like, why is anybody outside of the Big Four right now, because the Pac-12 disbanded, allowed to have an automatic bid in a 12-team race? It's not 64 teams. Where we love the charm of Ball State in the MAC having a chance to make the tournament in the SoCon conference, you know, teams like that making it in. Hey, Stetson can get in. Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast, they can make it in if they win their conference tournament. The Southland Conference, right? All of those schools. The Sun Belt, that's the charm, because you get 64 teams in. And you can bitch and moan all you want about how you wanted Indiana to get in at a 500 record. Well, they were the 32nd best, like, at-large team to get in. They didn't make it, so be it. Not going to have any bearing on the national championship picture. The best teams do get in for the most part. That's why we love it. So you can also have upsets that you can cheer on. And I'll tell you right now, everybody loves an upset until it happens. And you go, oh, no. We could have Duke, Kansas in the Elite Eight, but now we have James Madison in Kansas. Everybody loves that upset till it doesn't happen. Now we find out in the 15-team field, you're going to get teams in that theoretically shouldn't be there. Now, if you want to say, because it's hard to deliver this year, SMU has played nobody. And the one team they played, they lost to. Congratulations, SMU. You are in the ACC championship game. Clemson, who does have multiple losses, who backed into the ACC championship game, now has a chance to go as an automatic bid here. That's the rules. That's what we live under. But make no mistake about it. SMU loses, they should be no way. They should be out of the top 25 at that point for that horrendous schedule. And I understand people will back them and say, look at what they've done in these games. Look at that schedule. It is atrocious. And if they lose to Clemson, they should not be in. Absolutely not. It's the way we play it out. If they win their way in, you can't have any saying about that. Same thing with Boise State. They win their conference, they're going to get in. Those are the rules here. But if you make me commissioner, we're taking out all this garbage. We are. And we're going to put the best teams in that are going to get the highest ratings. I don't care if you're out here as a fan of a state school. Not putting that state school in because, oh, a little engine that could, it's fun. No, you know what would be fun? If it was a 60-team playoff in college football, then we can include the little engines that could at that point. But since we are at 12 teams, we need the best blue bloods in there for maximum action. And you know what? It's a shame that we are actually going to get games this weekend that are going to dictate who is playing in the college football playoff with the actual seedings and the games itself. Because I'm telling you right now, if this would have happened, because I'll take it where it is now, Georgia at home against Indiana, SEC power at home in Athens, taking on the upstart Indiana. Based on the criteria, Indiana, who played the worst schedule I've ever seen, played one good football team and got absolutely embarrassed by that football team, who then lost to Michigan and is still winding up as if we don't have a question. Put Indiana in that Big Ten championship game, they lose, they'd be out of the college football playoff. They won the schedule race this year. They're the big winners. But you know what? I don't mind that game. It's got intrigue to me. Does Indiana deserve to be on this playing field? And I love to see an SEC team in that environment have a home game. That will be electric. Game number two, Alabama and Notre Dame. Said this on the early line. You look at this matchup, guys. The ratings for this would be absolutely monumental, off of the charts. A national brand in Notre Dame taking on the Titan of Alabama. But some of you knuckleheads that are out there would not want to see this game because you want to see, like, SMU take that spot. What are you smoking out there? What are you smoking? That will be the biggest primetime game outside of a national championship game that we might have ever seen in the past 20 years. Alabama Notre Dame must see TV. Tennessee and Ohio State. Sensational. Ohio State just got punched in the head by Michigan. Playing in the horseshoe in cold weather conditions. And an SEC team comes to town. Sign me up. You can argue that Ohio State should have dropped more. Miami should be in there. But let's just keep the seeding where it is. Ohio State, Tennessee. Absolutely, I'll be on my couch watching that football game. I love it. So the first three rounds here, Indiana, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Ohio State, must see TV. Then we get the point here. Arizona State and Penn State. Penn State at home in a playoff game at Beaver Stadium, sensational. But Arizona State playing them, I don't care. I don't give a damn about Arizona State. I just don't. On a national level, most people don't either. You slide Miami in that Arizona State spot and have Penn State versus Miami in the cold weather at prime time. Oh, my God. They could be the greatest set of games we've ever seen if that would happen. And then you know what happens after that? Round number two just isn't as interesting. Because then Penn State goes to play Boise State, which I said again. Penn State wins that game, wherever they play, in the first round and takes on Boise State. That game's through on the blue turf. But it's going to be at some stupid bowl game. If SMU wins the ACC, Alabama-SMU, ruining it, man. So you know what I'm saying. Get rid of Boise. Get rid of SMU. Get rid of Arizona State. Let's have a real championship round. I'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's a good day. Hot topics are flowing. Look, I'm in the Northeast. It's cold today. It's what happens. But we can heat up that hot stove. And we're not talking about baseball. That's college football right now. The playoff show that we watched last night that gave us the seedings. Understand this. There is a precedent for things to change the week before. Because I've always said this. You know I've said this. It's a television show designed to get people upset. The only show that matters is the final show that's going to take place on Sunday. And in the chat box, Leonard Porcher Jr. says, Donnie, not to mention the injuries that could possibly occur in the pointless conference championship games. It's just pointless. So I'm with it. That has to end. And also, the injury side of it is interesting. As we saw last year, the crazy part about this was Florida State was an automatic to get into the college football playoff. Never seen this before. Major conference, unbeaten team, deserves the right to go. And the committee the week before basically told you, yeah, Florida State, if they win, they're in. There's no precedent to take them out. But they woke up and they realized what the public demanded and what they needed to do. Remove FSU, that fraud football team last year, from the equation. And as you saw, they were right. They lost by, what, 60 in the bowl game? And they won two games this season, went 2-10. Committee nailed it. There is precedent to make the right move. So I put out a tweet today on X that basically said, I like what the committee is doing. Because you know what? They're crowdsourcing right now. They're putting ideas out there for people to think about and let them know what they want to watch. And some people are going to get really upset at Alabama. I'm not an SEC lover. I'm not. I'm just a realist. The SEC, bar none, is the best football conference. It's been that way for 25 years. There's no argument against it. I want as many SEC teams as I can get in because I know the quality of football will be better than letting in teams like SMU, Arizona State, and Boise State. It's just a fact. There's no argument. The SEC is better than all of those three conferences there. It's point blank, period, exactly the way I'm stating it here. So if you can grab them in, now also, as I said, it's a television show, it changes week to week to week. Ward Manuel yesterday said, hey, you know what? SMU loses, is there a chance that Alabama can jump them? He basically said, absolutely, and he's probably going to expect that then. Because if SMU loses and there's a two-loss team, because they made their conference championship by playing nobody, the conference championships now, the only weight they should have is if you win it, you automatically get in, and there's nothing you can do about it, and I understand that. But if you lose the conference championship game, don't give me, well, they made it there and they lost, so we shouldn't hold it against them. What, it doesn't count on the standings? It doesn't count on the record? Nonsense. You go to a conference championship game, your conference puts you in that predicament, which means if you lose, you have a chance to get knocked out. Not, we can't reevaluate at that point. Which is why, again, College Football Playoff Committee crowdsourced this week to see what would happen. And hopefully they are tuning in to the Sports Grid Network and hearing interesting analysis like your boy DRS has given you here. SMU loses, they're out. Alabama gets in there. I don't want to hear anything else. SMU in that ridiculous schedule where they played nobody, beat nobody, and beat a football team, or excuse me, a team that beat them, average at best. And you're telling me if they lose to Clemson, who already has multiple losses, they're getting in? Stop it. There's no way the committee has that. Not a single shot the committee is going to let Alabama in the SEC, who knocks off title contenders week after week. Oh, but they lost this. You know what? I had this opinion this morning. Let's really play like devil's advocate. How about this season? Put Alabama in the ACC. Alabama's unbeaten this year and ranked number one in the country right now. That's the truth. But they don't play in the ACC. They play in the SEC. And in the past, we'd be like, oh, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt if both teams have the same record, the SEC goes on. That used to be the way it was. Now we're opening Pandora's box, and rightfully so, by going, well, aren't we designed or supposed to get the best 12 teams in here outside of the automatic bids? Yes! And it is a business. If you are a business owner, and somebody walks in and lays out a format by goes, this team is better, they make the tournament, more people will watch, your business will make more money. That's happening. That's serious. That's happening. That's what I'm telling you with games and teams like Alabama and SMU. Good story, SMU. Win your conference, get in, I have no argument. You lose with that schedule, with two losses, that equates to six SEC losses. Get them out of the picture. It's a wrap. We don't hear about SMU anymore. But they made the conference championship game. They wouldn't be sniffing a conference championship game if they played in the SEC. That's the point. Get the best teams in. That's what the people want. No bias there. No bias. That's what's going to happen. Then we got bigger fish to fry here. I love the college football talk. I love the chat box out here. I love the radio audience. We'll continue to let it rock and roll here. Your boy DRS right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The hot topics are sensational today on a Wednesday. Sometimes you don't know what you get. But the fact that college football, not even really talking about a game this weekend, which we'll take a look at in a little bit, but just the topics of who should get in. College football is doing the job it's supposed to do by bringing anger, efficiency, competency, and thoughts to the game. And again, none of this matters because things are going to play out on the football field over Friday and Saturday. And then we'll know on Pro Football Today, like we knew last year, and a cheer went up, you know, from the desk that Florida State was left out. So now then we got a good playoff picture. We're still going to have a good playoff picture no matter what, but it can be perfection. We are so close to perfection in that round one matchup estimate here that I just hope it doesn't get ruined at the end of this week. That's all I hope. I want what you guys want. I want the best teams in with exciting matchups that we can get excited for and have passion. And I hope we get that. And I'm hoping that the committee sees that as well and we make that happen. Now, let's switch gears here. We're going to talk about the hot stove and not necessarily about Juan Soto, who is now going to make at least $600 million, but we just don't know where he's going. I'm just going to say this one thing on Juan Soto. We are at the precipice of a Major League Baseball Armageddon. And again, from the ownership groups, they don't care. The Pittsburgh Pirates today, they don't care about winning anything. They just care about the bottom line. But Major League Baseball and the Players Union lets them skate by with no bottom on what the floor can be for a salary cap. The reason I say that is some of the most profitable teams in baseball are not the Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's teams like the Miami Marlins and the Oakland Athletics and the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates, as we talked about. Teams that won't spend any money, but due to the revenue sharing of the, you know, payroll taxes that you have to pay by going over a certain threshold, they're profitable. It never should be that case. There should be no, like if Major League Baseball wanted to right the ship, there'd be no revenue sharing in Major League Baseball. The top teams would make their money, the low teams would not. And if they can hang on. If they can't, no big deal. But also understand this. There are people out there with billions and billions and billions of dollars that would love to own a Major League Baseball team, buy that team, such as the Pittsburgh, you know, Pirates, and turn them into a powerhouse. But Bob Nutting's never going to sell that team because there's too much money in profitability at being terrible year after year and selling your best players. That's horrendous. But as I look at Juan Soto making his decision, can you imagine if it is the Los Angeles Dodgers and they get him? And I'm not even saying like we don't like the super team that you can root against. Not the case. It's proved in the ratings. We have a super team. They're going to get the lightning rod from the teams, the fans that love that team. And even more so, the teams that hate that team and root for the downfall. It happens a lot. But if you are one of those teams, which I completely disagree with their thoughts and analysis on Tampa Bay, like I already named them, Tampa Bay, Miami, Oakland, the small market teams. They make their money on the luxury tax money that comes through. When you hit that payroll tax in Major League Baseball, it gets distributed around amongst the teams that aren't having the high payroll, which is a crazy scenario. It never should happen. But the players' union is never going to accept a pay, let's just say, I don't want to even say a deficit, it's not the right word, like a lid on that salary cap. Like you can't go over this amount. They like the teams like the Dodgers paying that money. And yes, they still hate the teams like the Miami Marlins that won't pay it. But case in point, do you not have like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that say to themselves, we are not going to put up with this anymore? And it's not, again, that like if the Dodgers sign Juan Soto to a 10-year, $600 million contract, $60 million a year, that luxury tax is really going to kick in for the Dodgers, which is more money for the teams that don't want to spend money. I understand it's hard for people to just wrap their head around of how Major League Baseball works, but that's why it does. The Marlins getting three people in their stadium, they don't care. They're so profitable every year, it doesn't matter. Keep that payroll as bare bones as possible. Who cares who's watching on TV or who's actually in the ballpark? We're still going to be profitable. It's madness. It doesn't make sense. But if you are going to get Juan Soto and avoid the luxury tax once again on that cap by paying him $2 million a year for the next 5 years and backload it, that's where those teams are going to start to have an issue. And I have an issue with that as well. It'd be like in the NFL where if let's just say we didn't, as long as it was guaranteed money, there was no salary cap ramifications, where guys like Deshaun Watson would make $60 million a year. And if he stunk or got kicked out of the league in year number two, there'd be no more obligations on the salary cap for the Cleveland Browns. That's not the case. You sign him the guaranteed money, that's going to be all on the salary cap each and every year. And if you cut him, it's still going to be there. Sort of keeps things in tow where you can't just go nuts. Otherwise, if there was no salary cap, like when Jerry Jones and the Cowboys were really good, they just bought every single good player in the NFL and won Super Bowls. The minute they put a salary cap in, Dallas hasn't sniffed the NFC Championship game because they don't know how to understand what a roster takes and pick winning football players, case in point. But Major League Baseball and Juan Soto, that is a massive issue. If he goes to the Dodgers based on deferred money, it's not really in the spirit of the game. But on one hand, I hate it. On the other hand, I love it because it shoves those teams like the Rays and the Marlins and the Pirates who don't want to spend money. They don't get as much money, which is wild the way it plays out. Now, let's keep it in baseball. Juan Soto, we'll see where he signs. Maybe by the end of the week. Stupid free agency period every year in Major League Baseball. Completely kills the momentum. The best player should go on the first or second day. End of story. Let's get ready for the baseball season. But in doing that, Rob Manfred poke his head out again. And you know me. You've listened to a lot of shows I've done. I think Rob Manfred is the best commissioner in sports. You say, oh, no, he's not. You guys all hate Goodell. Everybody hates Gary Bettman. I mean, people hate Rob Manfred. silver in the NBA, coming up with the NBA Cup. Ludicrous. Stupid. And nobody likes commissioners. But for me, the best one has been making the best decisions. Rob Manfred got the universal DH. One of the best rules we've ever seen. The pitch clock. If you put any rule in any sport over the past 124 years, we'll date it back to 1900, the pitch clock is the most important thing we've ever seen. You might not think it now when you watch baseball games, but you go back a couple years, and I dare you to do this. Put on a Major League Baseball game from, I don't know, 2018. Go to Sunday Night Baseball, Yankees and the Red Sox. You're watching a five-hour game here. And not because the action is great. It's just because everybody's wasting time. The pitch clock is the single most important thing we've ever seen, and Rob Manfred put that in. The shift in baseball, which was killing it. Just learn to hit the baseball the other way, they said. Stop it. Stop. They're paid on home runs. They're going to be pulling baseballs. Getting rid of that, loved every minute of that. You can't throw it to first base a million times to draw the game out. Love they took away that as well. Throw over there two, three times. Now you can't throw over anymore. Easy stolen base here. Wider bases for more stolen bases, which disappeared in Major League Baseball. Now they're back in a big way. Every single change that he has made has been nothing short of spectacular, and I approve A+ on what he's done over the past 5 years with those rule changes. Ghost runner and extras, fantastic. Nobody wants to play 21 innings on a Tuesday, destroying their bullpen for the rest of the month. He's been phenomenal in his decision-making, but now he's trying to put in, or says there's buzz to put in, a golden batter in a game. And now I say, Rob, you've gone too far. You say, Donnie, I didn't hear about that. What are you talking about? The golden batter, which would mean you strike out Shohei Ohtani in the bottom of the eighth inning with a one-run lead. You move on to the ninth. You take that deep breath. Whew! Won't have to face that guy the rest of the way. And the golden bat rule says the home team in the bottom of the ninth inning can put Shohei Ohtani up again if they want to. Why are we talking about this? Like, I shouldn't have to be talking about this on December 4th with a great football game on deck tomorrow night in the NFL, with Sunday morning, obviously getting ready for NFL action, but knowing exactly what the college playoff is going to be. And I'm talking Major League Baseball, not signing of big players, but a golden batter into the game. Are you kidding me? The fact that this was even said in Major League Baseball is really disturbing. And I've said time and time again, you go out and watch, you know, Major League Baseball, the way it's played now for the past couple of years, I enjoy it. I think the game is better, but there is some things to improve on. But just like in the NBA that I've railed on, one of the worst rules that we've ever seen is in the NBA, you reward the worst team. But let's just say the worst team, the losing team. The end of a game, call timeout. And move it into three-point range? Nonsense. The golden batter rule in Major League Baseball, maybe the stupidest thing I've ever heard come out of anybody's mouth in Major League Baseball. Crazy, ain't it? Your boy DRS, it's Moneyline. It's a Wednesday. It's the Sports Grid Network. Hold on for these commercials. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Signing day. The early signing period there for college football. Boy, I used to like it better. I guess sometimes you say old man yelling at cloud. Wasn't it better? Like, what was it, the first Tuesday or whatever, or Wednesday, whenever it might be in the month of February, a signing day. It was so big in college football. It was like a national holiday. You saw who you were getting. You know, the silent commits that come in late. It was a lot of fun. Just, that's meaningless now. They ruin a lot of things in college sports, just what it is. And it's just what it's going to be now at this point here. So it is. By the way, I talked about Major League Baseball. Stupid rule. Get it out of here. Regardless. Dumb. No help. The NBA Cup. You want to talk a little NBA Cup action? Are you excited for the finals in Vegas? I'm not. Useless. Something that we didn't ask for in the NBA. LeBron James won it last year, now decided it's useless this year is what he says and shouldn't be there. I don't have any interest in the Cup. Maybe the people out there in the public got access for that and they certainly want that to happen. But we are going to take a look at this weekend in college football and the meaning, right? Because there are some big games out there that still have to be played with bad intentions, as we like to say. The games I don't care about, Iowa State, Arizona State, wonder if that's going to get into the, you know, college football playoff, but it's what it is. Ohio versus Miami, Ohio. That's the MAC. I used to love that, too. Look at that low total, 44.5. 2.5-point favorite for Miami, Ohio. Georgia, Texas, I think will be a great game. If you're just reading Georgia, Texas lines this weekend, boy, that is a stone-cold Texas line, isn't it? You're looking at a team in Georgia that went to Texas and beat them up, and now you're going to be playing Georgia in the middle of SEC territory, and it's a de facto home game for Georgia, and Georgia is getting points. I'm surprised by that. And also the opening line at FanDuel for this game was 1.5 as a favorite towards Texas, and is now 2.5 as a favorite towards Texas, despite getting less than 50% of the tickets. That's a stone-cold Texas line. Probably won't be betting that game, though. Marshall, Louisiana, nobody cares. Clemson, SMU, nobody really cares. Charlotte, I guess it'll be all Clemson. Should be a Clemson home game. Clemson wins, they get in by default in the SEC. SMU, if they lose, should be nowhere near the college football playoff. That game sits as a 2.5-point favorite, opened as a 1.5-point favorite to SMU. A lot of points in that game, though. I do like SMU's offense. 56.5 to 57, depending on where you're shopping at. And the game of the day, game of the night, is Penn State-Oregon. That's a really good matchup. Would it feel better if a lot was on the line? Like the winner moves on, the loser goes home? Like that's fun. That's not going to happen in this game. 4.5 is that opening number on Oregon that has now turned into 3.5 as a favorite for Oregon. And a total at 51.5 at the opening number at FanDuel. Now down to 50.5 at FanDuel, but 49.5 at a lot of outlets. Still looks like Westgate out in Vegas, still posting a 50 in that spot as well. But it is a weekend that we're going to watch, but the electricity for college football championship weekend isn't there. Like, again, if you're an SMU fan, you love it. If you're a Clemson fan, you love it. I guess if you're Iowa State or Arizona State, you love it. But nationally, we don't. We'll watch. We'll bet. I'm not saying that. But the fact that you have a game with, you know, which could have everything on the line with major implications, like typically the SEC championship game does have, doesn't matter. Georgia wins, they move on. Georgia loses, they move on. Same thing with Texas. They win, they move on. They lose, they move on. Take some of the, you know, the punch out of those environments. You do like sudden death, and the games do mean something for some of these football teams. And seedings, of course, are going to matter. And I'm not saying that, you know, Penn State and Oregon are going this game going, okay, guys, let's not get hurt because the college football playoffs underway. No, it means a lot for the coaches and the players themselves to win the Big Ten. But outside of winning the Big Ten for the casual fan, they don't care about that game. Hey, guys, make sure you look at this. 2 minutes ago, Penn State, Oregon, 21-21 with Oregon driving. Oh, my goodness, Penn State loses, they'll be out. If they can hold on and win this game, they'll be in the cut. No, there's none of that. You just be cheering on your bets, prop bets, whatever it might be, and that's the way you're going to get after it. There's no fault in that. I'm not upset with that. Just the way it is. But if we do remove this weekend's championship games, take away the buys and another layer of the college football playoff, bigger ratings. Bigger ratings means more money in the kitty for every single person. Players, institutions, vendors, television, you get the point. And that's going to happen in the future. Once they start to lay the books out of how you can make more money, it'll get there and we'll be fine. Now, college basketball tonight, by the way, a lot of big games. You just take a look at KenPom here on the Fan Match. Auburn and Duke. KenPom's number one team is Auburn. Duke's number four. You got Alabama and North Carolina. He has them listed at 10-16. A number of 174.5 points as a total is insanely high for college basketball. How much fun is that game going to be at the Dean Dome? Pittsburgh, Mississippi State. Ohio State, Maryland. Marquette, Iowa State, who KenPom has them 7-9. I believe they're 5-6 in the AP poll. That should be a tremendous game at Hilton Coliseum. Baylor in Connecticut, even Kansas Creighton. Here's what I like about this, too, because you know me. I am a staunch defender of, you know, I really don't like college basketball until the NFL season ends because none of these games technically matter. And I do wish if college basketball just started right off into conference play, I would pay more attention to it. But now we're sort of out of the silly season, which is the Maui's and the Bahamas, and we're getting back into better play. But then you get back into the silly season around the Christmas tournaments and whatnot coming up as well. So we're almost there, but I do appreciate college basketball with these challenges. Whoever came up with these challenges, absolutely sensational. Take two power conferences, line them up against each other, and let's see who's the best. Now, it's not round robin where everybody's going through it, but you're taking like matchups versus like matchups and telling these conferences to get after it, and I love that. Like, yes, Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech, not a great game per se, but you have eyeballs on that. It's fun to see that conference matchup. I think it's great. Baylor and Connecticut. Connecticut lost three straight games. Dan Hurley's going to have an aneurysm if he doesn't win this game, and drops his fourth straight game. So there is a lot of intrigue on the college basketball card tonight. But when I take a look at like numbers, right? When I go to KenPom and line these two teams up, I love the numbers they offer, but they're skewed. And on KenPom, the best part about that is once you get into conference play, there's a filter. So when they start to play 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 conference games, you take away all the white noise and the nonsense of the games that started before conference play, and you just focus on conference. That's the sweet spot in college basketball. And we're a little bit away from that, about a month, month and a half, we really can kick in and have some fun. But a great card tonight in college basketball. For you hoop heads, you got to be loving it. On the right side, Moneyline, Sports Grid Network. I got another segment to go. Why don't you do it?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA card tonight, six-pack here. Timberwolves Clippers ends it tonight. Starts it off, Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic. Sixers looking for their third win in a row. Probably won't get it. The line opened up as a -2 point favorite towards Orlando. It's now spiked to 5.5. Obviously, we knew Joel Embiid wasn't going to play, but it also looks like, I believe, Paul George will be out tonight. Let's see if I can go to Twitter real quick, because I thought I saw an update, too, of maybe somebody else. Let's go Sixers. And just type that in here. Should come up fairly quickly. All right, survive the hive. Yep, they got the win last night. Fantastic. Okay. No, it's not coming up here. Let me hit the latest then. Let's see what the latest news on the Sixers are. No Paul tonight. Okay. I guess that's it there. I didn't think it read maybe a Tyrese Maxey was going to be out. Let me see. Along with the Sixers. I don't see. It's hard to find where it is now, but I know Paul George will not be playing tonight. And I guess Joel Embiid obviously is already out. So maybe it is the Jared McCain show tonight where, by the way, Paul George played really good. But I guess playing on back-to-backs just is. And by the way, when we talk about rule changes, the NBA having back-to-backs is ridiculous. It should never happen, except for, again, greedy owners. Owners make more money by renting out their arena on a night-to-night basis, which means they're going to have dub back-to-backs, which harms the product, and they don't care because it's about the almighty dollar. Back-to-back should be absolutely banned in the NBA so you can get more players on the court for more minutes. Doesn't it make sense? Yeah, it makes sense, but that's why they won't do it. Clippers tonight, Norm Powell, you know me, that's my guy. Just how many, what's his three-point shot prop? Just take it to the over. My guy wrecks it. He kills it. It's just what he does. Atlanta Hawks, Milwaukee Bucks tonight, 4-point line for the Bucks. Pacers and Nets tonight. The Pacers are a 2.5-point favorite over Brooklyn. The Lakers and the Heat now having discussions on how they're going to handle LeBron James the rest of the way. His father time really caught up with him. His jump shot just doesn't have the legs right now. The Lakers are the 9th seed out of 10. So it's not as if you can afford to shut him down or take off too many nights because they need him. It's a tough, you know, pill to swallow for them. Pistons and the Celtics, heavy favorite for the Celtics at 14.5. And then we just went over the Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers. As that's now a 5.5-point line up from 2 and 2.5. But you know what I'm looking forward to? Not tonight in the NBA, a little bit in college basketball. Boy, tomorrow, when you talk about like a football Friday on the Sports Grid Network, it feels like a football Friday is going to arrive early. Because not only do we have college football action Friday and Saturday, it'll be fun to watch. But the NFL is one of their best games of the year in primetime tomorrow. Green Bay and Detroit. Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Detroit 11-1. Green Bay, what, 8-3 coming into this game? You knock off Detroit if you're Green Bay. Maybe you have a legitimate chance to win that division, which also opens the door for the Minnesota Vikings. And on top of that, the Philadelphia Eagles now enter into that picture as a true number one seed. Because their schedule the way out plays a lot differently than Detroit's does, Green Bay's and Minnesota. And I said it last week on the show, if the Philadelphia Eagles went into Baltimore and won that football game, regardless of what happened across the NFL that weekend, they're going to wind up being the number one overall seed, and I believe that. Now, you can't pick and choose. There will be injuries. There will be upsets. Any given Sunday in the NFL is certainly a true moniker. But for my money, the Philadelphia Eagles right now are probably going to get that one seed. Not because I don't think Detroit is the best team in the NFL or the NFC. But again, being a product of your environment and who you play down the stretch, where that record is, that's going to make a big difference here. But that line sits most outlets tomorrow night at 3.5. Some outlets reporting back at 3. Total in this football game, 51.5. I do think we get points. And also, once again, remember this. Thursday night games are typically sloppy, particularly when it's in a conference battle. Some wacky things happen. This is a little bit different. Both of these teams did play last Thursday on Thanksgiving. You saw Green Bay play at night against the Miami Dolphins. You saw the Lions at home against the Chicago Bears. But they have 7 days to get ready for this game in between, rest up, and get as healthy as possible, game plan for each other, and then also keep in mind, not a long travel distance from Green Bay to Detroit. Detroit played at home last week. They'll be at home this week. No travel involved. Green Bay played at home last week. They weren't coming back on a plane on Thanksgiving. Then another plane out the following week there to Detroit. So you should get as clean as a game as you can possibly get. Now, the weekend slate, not all that great. Atlanta, Minnesota, New Orleans, New York Giants, Jacksonville, Tennessee, nope. Las Vegas, Tampa, maybe a little juice there. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Jameis Winston, maybe adding a little bit of juice there. Philadelphia hammering Carolina. Jets, Miami. They have juice in that game. Aaron Rodgers and the boys. And by the way, Sauce Gardner struggling with a hamstring injury. Maybe a passing game. Buffalo, LA. That's okay. Chicago, San Francisco. Nope. Chargers, Kansas City at night with a banged up Chargers squad. That game now up to 4, by the way. Ripping and running towards the Chargers. For JP, behind the wheels of steel, your boy Donnie Wrights out on the solo mission. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Moneyline. Thanks for tuning in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.